Blog Talk Radio.
Don Show. I'm Don in Studio A once again, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, it's good to be back. How are you, sir?
Good to hear your voice, Don, and I know our listening audience appreciate the fact that our phone lines will be open. There's so much happening. In fact, last time really you were with us, Donald Trump had not been sworn in as 45th president of the United States, or the Imperial United States of America. So I imagine there may be a caller or so who may want to talk about that. There's been so much happening, man. You know, I just don't know where to start, man. And by the way, we need to just Jeff Sessions, the Grand Dragon from Alabama. Oh, I'm sorry, the senator from Alabama, been confirmed by the United States Senate on a 52-47 vote. The little cat from Minton. West Virginia broke ranks with the Democrats, but most of the Democrats held the line, 52-47 vote, man. Jeff Sessions, baby, the new whipping boss. Boy, we're going to be in hell. Oh, by the way, we got kind of an exclusive here. Chuck Cooper, a right-hand man of Jeff Sessions during the days of the 1980s, a man who argued as an attorney for the Department of Justice for the reinstatement of segregation and against same-sex marriages, etc. Chuck Cooper is going to become the Solicitor General of the United States of America. And this cat is, Chuck Cooper is a card-carrying member of the white supremacist thing. But I don't know if the media will be allowed to deal with it. But Chuck Cooper will be the new Solicitor General of the United States of America. He's going to argue before the Supreme Court about the future of the Negro. You know,
woo,
look out now, Tom.
Woo. Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. But, you know, Mr. Edwards, like we were talking about earlier in a production meeting, this is all part of the system, the structure of the white male patriarch system of checks and balance that, you know, you knew once this guy get in, he already said, once Trump got in, he already said what he was going to do. He told it flat out. What it is, Mr. Edwards, what I think is that he's shocking people. He's actually... Where other presidents, you know, over 6 months or a year, they'll do a few executive orders at a time. This dude is slapping them out every other day. He's like, bam, 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 bam. Now, the funny thing is, he hasn't gotten to his piece on Black America yet. Remember? Because he says, what do you have to lose? He says, I will do better than Obama or anybody else for Black America.
Yeah, right.
It's words out of his mouth. That's his mind. So we got to see. We got to see, you know. I mean, we can be out there marching with him, Mr. Edwards. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he's their president, no doubt about it. In fact, let me say this, kind of a promotion for MSNBC. People need to watch real closely the MSNBC with, what's his name, Chris Hayes, the young white cat. You know, he's doing a piece live, town hall meeting in Chicago tomorrow night. Chicago in the crosshairs, which is kind of interesting, you know, crosshairs. And I think what you're going to see is that after that program, and even doing that program, you're going to probably have a couple of black folk that are going to talk in terms of that they're already anticipating the presence of federal law enforcement, and maybe even federal troops in Chicago to deal with, quote-unquote, the so-called problem of violence and et cetera, but I just don't think they'll ever pick up and round up all the guys that are doing all the shooting. But anyways, keep for our listening audience across the United States and across the world, Chris Hayes, Chicago in the process, Chicago, Illinois. But the agenda for the coverage, you know, Don, we've not been on the phone lines and et cetera. Our associate has been finishing up some academic stuff. But I think if we would have had the phone lines open, maybe, you know, we would have had some folk that would have kind of confirmed the most dangerous person in the Trump administration is Bannon, Stevie Bannon. And I'm a pure, pure neo-Nazi. But ain't nothing we can do about it. But like I said, man, that they wanted him, they got him, man. Now, do you you think we're going to go to war with Iran?
I don't know, but Iran is testing, doing a lot of. They're launching missiles and acting up, but they're pushing the envelope a little bit. And I thought we cleaned that up over there. You know, it's very funny.
No. What happened is that once the Donald started talking about he was going to invalidate the nuclear agreement, the Iranians then found the high ground to say, "Oh, okay, so you guys are nothing but liars and et cetera." See, there's a heck of a problem right now because the Iranians really want, even though they know the Israelis have nuclear weapons, the Iranians want to go after the Israeli, and they're going to get support from specifically North Korea and to a more quieter activity from China. Now, Russia, Putin doesn't like Jews anyways. But North Korea, now here's the word. They talked about that last night on blog radio and shortwave. The North Koreans have already provided the Iranians with systems, navigation systems and et cetera, which can allow you to put those ICBMs in the air and on target. But keep this in mind, bro, is that the Iranians want to initiate an attack on Israel. And that will cause Israel to engage its nuclear arsenal, if you will. And we'll be paying $18 to $20 for a gallon of gasoline. You know what I'm saying to you?
Yep. Any minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. And I just want to let people know our phone lines are open. The number is 347-426-3904. Again, the lines are open. That number is 347-426-3904. Okay. Yeah, hey,
yeah.
Mr. Edwards, just before we went on, you know, our friend of the show, Lenny Chisholm, had sent me the auditor's report for the U.S. Bank Stadium. Authorities violated core ethical principles with free tickets for friends and family. Now,
Lay it out to us. Yeah.
Okay, so what we have here is it's very interesting because none of this really came out during the building of the Viking Stadium, but it's very interesting. This is as a cross. The so-called cabins and the trust bar were built by the Vikings at the highest level of the building for $8.5 million. The NFA will pay
$1.5 million.
The highest level of the building for $8.5 million. The MFA will pay $1.5 million.
For a 30-year lease. Yeah, no. We've been looking at this. We were aware of the report, in fact, on our television program to air Sunday, which was taped last night for the listening audiences. We laid out the fact that the bombshell was getting ready to hit. I saw it about 3 weeks ago when I saw the move being made by a couple of your good friends, Senator Rosen and Catherine Miller and et cetera, when they set the stage and said that they would be holding a hearing. And I guess it got testy over there yesterday because the Republicans and the three chairs of the three key committees, all women, really put the hot rod to Ted Mondale and that group. In fact, I understand they're going to expand from 5 to 7, if you will, and I understand that some folks are going to be asked to step away, if you will. One of them may be Barbara Butts Williams, the only African-American on the Yeah, that's kind of implied in the article, but I have to tell you that sources available to me over the last month have been indicating that Jim Nobles, the legislative auditor, not to be confused with the state auditor, which is a constitutional office. The legislative auditor is actually appointed, chosen and appointed by the legislature. That they feel they've got enough evidence to suggest the filing of complaints, quote unquote, and possible indictments. But here's what they're saying, is that because of the Democratic flavor in Minneapolis, if you will, that they doubt that Mike Freeman would bring this matter to the attention of the grand jury. So what they're talking about now is putting pressure on the Attorney General Lori Swanson, who's getting a lot of play because of the the lawsuit that she filed along with the state of Washington against President Trump. But my sense is that because both county attorneys in both counties, Hennepin County and Ramsey County, are both Democratic office holders and et cetera, that they're not prepared. Now, the Attorney General, though she's also a Democrat, does have the latitude under color of law to impanel a state grand jury. Man, it's been a long time since they did that. And possibly bring charges, because in that article and report you've got in front of you, it was a surprise in today's edition of the Star Tribune that the legislative auditor let Rochelle Olson, the reporter for the Star Tribune, let her know that he found evidence after he had issued his report, after he had shared some of it with the governor's office and et cetera, that's when he found out about the cabin in the sky. Ooh, listen to us. That's when he found out. And so they are maintaining that significant information and documentation has been withheld. And under the state statute, Don, they could move to bring this matter to a grand jury. What would be called a state impanel grand jury, which actually could be authorized by the Supreme Court of the state of Minnesota. So you touched on a hot issue, man. You know, some folk may have to take a walk. Oh, they're also talking about eliminating Michelle Helm Keglin's, her paid position.
Oh, that's too bad. Hey, Mr. Harris, we have a caller.
Let's get him out. Let's get him out. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, and this is I go by the name of Mr. M. I'm in South Minneapolis in my palatial estate, calling in, listening to you gentlemen, and been missing Mr. Allen on the airwaves. I've heard him on some other stations, you know.
You're talking about my associate, Mr. Allen? He's become quite a favorite there on K-Fan on, what is it, on Saturdays, 1 to 3, or what time are you guys on K-Fan?
6 to 7 on KTLK, Twin Cities.
Yeah, I've had a chance to listen to him, and I'm really glad he has Mr. Jamar on, who is able to actually kind of keep him in check.
Nelson, if I'm not mistaken. I have to cut in and tell you, my associate has been on the move. He has been involved in a couple of high profile murder cases. In fact, you reported on that case back in 1981.
Yes, I did.
On what is it? TV1? Yeah.
It was on
ID Channel, this ID Discovery Channel.
Yes,
It wasn't on TV1, and it's on Blood Moves or something like that, and it was called the Weepy Voice Killer.
Yeah, man, they
1981. Yes, I heard about
that.
Did
you see that too? Yes.
I didn't see it. The Whisperer
serial murderer. He was called the Whisperer. I well remember that because he took one of the women from Mickey's Diner over there in St. Paul. Took her out to the railroad tracks and killed her. Yeah, man. Don's getting a national following.
Big time. Yeah,
yes,
I'm going to have to TiVo that. I really want to see it. Well, you know, I've kind of, you know, named Mr. Allen, you know, Mr. Ear to the Keyhole. I mean, he knows what we don't know, and he brings it out. I mean, so, I have to hand it to him.
You can go back to a serial killer in 1981 and bring that information forth and get that kind of national play, man, because you were also on Dish TV and everything else. But let me ask you a question as one that's on top of the game. What about Jeff Sessions? What about Jeff? Jeff's in there now, baby.
Boy,
lock and load.
He's in there, you know. I mean, there's been a lot of pushback and opposition, and I'm glad, you know, so that people know he's not coming in there without, you know, people being fully aware of what we're getting into. So I'm, you know, I'm hopeful that the powers that be, you know, will continue to push back. I mean, that's.
Let me ask you this, Em. I don't want to put you on the spot here. How do you think Jeff and his Solicitor General, everybody's now reporting out of Washington. I just made a call before we went on the air to a source in Washington, D.C., a guy by the name of Chuck Cooper, who was very much affiliated in the 1980s and late 80s with the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacist group. Chuck Cooper was in the Justice Department and et cetera, is going to be our new Solicitor General. And boy, I tell you, it's not going to be good. Yeah. But what's your take on Jeff? I mean, how do you think Jeff's going to approach voting rights and the race question?
Just, you know, I guess overall, just an observation. I mean, is that the whole kit and caboodle, I mean, they're digging up. I mean, if they could bring George Wallace and Bull Connor and Orville Faubus.
Strom Thurmond, our friend Strom Thurmond.
If they could bring them back, I mean, they would certainly be high up on the list of people they would be bringing into this administration.
Well, I
got to
tell you, I got to cut in here. Don,
I mean,
get in there opinion. With us now. Because give me your take, Kim, and maybe we get some additional calls. What was your take on how they slapped down Elizabeth Warren? Last night on the floor of the Senate. I mean, they stripped her of First Amendment and everything else. And, you know, what you call it, told her, man, our boy out of Kentucky that we talked about here, he told her, you know, I'm surprised he didn't call her the P word. But he told her to shut up and sit down. I thought, wow, Lord have mercy.
Well, we're in an anything goes. You know, it's kind of an anything goes, you know, type of a situation. I mean, they're not holding back words. They're not holding back the rancor. And it's all on display. It's all on display. But it's also on display not only here but worldwide. I mean, this is what I'm really concerned about. Some of the things you said earlier, you know, about what's going on in the Middle East, how these things are kind of percolating around. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I'm going to start listening to a guy who comes on late radio named George Nouri.
Okay.
George Nouri comes on and he tells you, you know, this imminent war, you know, you should get yourself a bomb shelter. You should buy the food, the prep food that they have. You know, you can just buy bulk of it and you just mix it with water and you'll have pizza and lasagna just by mixing it with water. It lasts forever. Because it seems like we're pushing ourselves toward some type of a conflict.
Let me say this on the most serious matter. I mean, because we have a certain class about us, this group on this program. And Don, you know, waiting to hear from you on the war thing. I did a program a month ago on my television program. I indicated that one of the things that they never talk about, talking about what they're going to do to the Iranians and the Chinese and the North Koreans. And by the way, the North Koreans, as we talk, are shipping materials and parts to the Iranians for the guided missile system. But I maintain that in the first hours of the conflict, we will see 235,000 casualties. I'm just indicating that to you as an analysis based on evidence and et cetera. 235,000 casualties hours of the conflict. With Iran.
That's a lot, you know. And this game, this chess game they're playing, Mr. Edwards, is pretty dangerous. And they're playing it at the highest levels.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even getting a trickle of the real information to circumvent anything. You have the distraction. The powers that be are sitting back. They've already gotten a distraction.
Yeah.
The distraction is Donald Trump. Okay, so while he's a distraction, they can plan all this other stuff in the back to, let's start this war, let's do this, let's do this, let's move this around to shift the world's infrastructure. And people are just blind to these second, third, fourth, and fifth, sixth, up to 100 levels of the different things that are going on, and they just run off the hinge. I had a chance to accidentally walk in a room on a university campus where counselors were there, grief counselors were there to console students because Donald Trump won. First of all,
I can believe it.
First of all, I damn near fell out on the floor with my. I got, you know, when you laugh so hard, you get a cramp in the side, and I just said, what would be the purpose of this? This doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I said this is something you do when your football team loses. Or someone, no, when someone gets killed, one of the favorite students or any student. I said, this right here don't make no sense. And, of course, I was escorted out post-haste. But, you know, there's a lot of weird things going on. There's Trump, who I am watching very closely. Yeah, I like Trump. I'm a Republican. I voted on the party line. But then again, you have to be cautious because if you just go with that blind leadership, it's going to get you caught.
Let me ask this question, gentlemen, but let me hold your point there because I saw some discussions in the last couple of hours. How do you, when you know, and by the way, you better watch closely that crazy man that appointed as ambassador to Israel. And I want, you know, Em, if you would, and Don, you know, continue your thoughts. How in the hell do you talk about Nordstrom's? And who's line of boots and clothes that you're not talking about, when the Israelis right now as we speak are in secret discussions with the United States about carrying out a preemptive strike on
a couple of significant
targets inside of Iran. How the hell do we talk about North Korea?
That is so,
Mr.
you
Allen
know,
is on
I
point,
mean, right,
by the way. He is certainly on point. I'm sorry, Em. Go ahead.
One, no, that is so right on the head because in line with what Mr. Allen is saying, all these things going around us, and our team is over here talking about Nordstrom's and tweeting people and getting mad about TV shows and comedy shows and, you know, seeming to be preoccupied with things that have nothing to do with our well-being as a country. Yeah. I'm very concerned.
Yeah. I am. Mr. You're thinking on the Nordstrom thing with us in a situation right now where the Israelis are pressing the Trump administration to allow a preemptive attack on Iran.
Yeah, and Mr. Edwards, I'm glad you brought that up because this is one of the most interesting things that is going on. The distraction. Trump is sitting there. And it was the dumbest thing in the world to tweet something about Nordstrom's with that going on. But the guy has figured out the game. I'm not proud of that he's figured it out at all. I'm just saying, tell you the real story. The real story is, Nordstrom's dropped my daughter's line of clothes. Let me go after them as president. Something that, you know, Obama wouldn't have done. Bush is number one and two wouldn't done.
No. If Barack Obama would have done that, he would be the earliest president in the history of the republic to be looking at charges of impeachment.
Yeah.
If Obama had done a 1% of what Donald Trump has done, he would be impeached. In fact, he would have been assassinated already.
Well, let's look at something like this. If Obama would have done 1% of what Trump was doing and focused it to Black America, would have been interesting, because all those executive orders that I sat back, Mr. Edwards, on the 10th day, and I think he did about what 12, 13 executive orders, one after the other.
Oh no, he's done more than that. I saw him do 10 in one day.
Like on the 10th day of his presidency. He's done quite a few already. The 10th day.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this. I'm saying these are unpopular. These are pissing people off. You know, these are not making America happy. And then someone tapped me on the shoulder. He says, you know, Obama probably could have done the same thing with his executive orders, but he took some time and spread them out over 8 years. And I said, you know, that's absolutely right. But there were really no executive orders for Black America. That's what I'm trying to. The point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. So,
Looking at that.
That's
a good point. That's an interesting point. Because Obama was facing assassination if he'd have done anything in which would have been advantageous to the African American community of America. Hey, man, you absolutely.
White folks want to go after Trump. White folks want to go after Trump. You have Madonna talking about she feels like blowing up the White House was her quote. I'm like, okay, it's the same thing against Trump on a different side. Now, Obama caught
him. But you see, I see the white anger in America with regards to this is that they realize that the election was stolen from them, and they realize it was done by a foreign dictator. We haven't even touched on Vladimir Putin. I've said on my national programs, if Joseph Stalin, whatever part of hell he is in, would turn over in his grave along with Lenin and Marx and the rest of them, the job that they did in cultivating Donald Trump as a sleeper inside of the United States of America, now President of America, you understand, Vladimir Putin should receive whatever the highest order of the Russian Federated Republic is. Vladimir Putin is running this ball game, baby. Vladimir Putin is running this ball game in the United States of America. And what's happened, see, I thought for a minute while you were not with us, Mr. Trump, that they were going to confront Trump about the fact that he had a greater association and still has that association than he has revealed with Vladimir Putin. But it's gotten so scary, and when the senator from Arizona and the senator from South Carolina initially said they were going to hold hearings, if you notice, the grand wizard, McConnell of Kentucky, has put a quash on that. When is the last time you've heard them talking about having a series of committee meetings to examine what the hell really happened in the election? You notice they backed off of that. You know why? Because of that those security intelligence reports that were given just before President Barack Obama left office, which clearly indicated how this guy operated when he visited Russia. The Russians clearly have something on President Trump, and I think we're all too scared to say what it is, okay? But Vladimir Putin is running this show, baby. He's running this show.
Well, I'm still waiting for some evidence to come forward of
Let's be clear now. There is evidence. In fact, some of that evidence is in the reports, but because of it's identified as a national security document, we're never going to see it, okay? And there's nothing the courts can do about it either, by the way. But there is the evidence. You know, I can tell you an example of some evidence that was put into my hands as an example. One of the things and one of the people that snitched Donald Trump out as it pertains to his conduct while visiting Moscow was the head housekeeper, of all things, of the Fritz Hotel, the Ritz Hotel that he stayed in Moscow. That report that came from MI5, okay, the British intelligence agency, that report is out there. Now, there are members, gentlemen, of the United States Congress, particularly the Senate, that has the information from that report. They're too scared, man. They cannot believe the kind of penetration, hate to use that term, the kind of penetration that has been made into the security apparatus of the United States, okay? We ain't got a clue of just how much trouble we're in.
But that's what is so frightening. That's what is so frightening, because what's going to happen is this hammer is going to be released. They're going to lower the boom at the most strategic time, okay?
Yes.
When it can be most effective. I mean, it's kind of
now,
like
now, who are you
when
saying is going to do this? Em, if I could, we missed it. There was some noise in the background. I don't know if that was Don or you. Who are you saying is going to do this?
I'm saying that Putin, whoever has this information and who can use this information to their good at the most strategic time, it's kind of like when the FBI and the feds, you know, they do an investigation on people. When they come in, it's a done deal, okay? They done got everything. They done got all the interviews. They got you on tape. They got you on. It's time to make a deal, okay? Because
like they did with Hillary Clinton.
the jig is up. That's what's going to happen in this situation.
Don, I'm getting a text message that we have another call holding. I don't want to lose him. I understand we have a couple calls holding. I'm getting text messages around the country.
I am looking at the switchboard right now, and there's the three of us, and there are no calls holding. But our number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And the studio lines are wide open.
The call came in at 10 minutes to 9. But we'll see if they'll call us back. But let's continue, gentlemen, because I like talking about Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is probably one of the most devious, but probably one of the most effective intelligence agents in the world who happens to lead a country called the Russian Federated Republic. Vladimir Putin. Here's where I think the action is going to take place, Brother M. It's going to take place when Putin makes a decision to move more aggressively and with greater force against the Ukraine.
And we do have
the
a caller.
Eastern flank of NATO. I think that's when it's going to hit the fan.
And we do have a caller.
Because that has been an
eyesore
and has angered Vladimir for the last year. Now, you know, the United States has a fairly decent-sized American military contingent in Poland for really the first time ever. And Vladimir has indicated this happened under the Obama administration. And part of the discussions that General Flynn and others had been having in late December was dealing with the presence of American troops on Polish soil that close to the Russian western frontier. Keep that in mind, gentlemen. Vladimir is very unhappy. It'll be interesting to see what Donald Trump does with that American presence. I think it's about 5,000 American troops.
Wow. And we do have another caller. Caller, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Yeah, you have a very interesting discussion going on. I was kind of wondering, where do you think J. Edgar Comey fits into this? Because it seems like he kind of sabotaged sabotaged Hillary's chances there at the end. I mean, that was kind of interference I've never heard of before in an FBI director. I was just wondering
To the question of J. Edgar Comey, I think he guaranteed that he would be able to complete his 10-year term as director of the FBI. This is kind of like 1984, if you will. Got to be kind of cautious now how we talk about the security services of our beloved nation. You know, I'm not sure what the discussions were with Mr. Comey, J. Edgar Comey, following in the footsteps of J. Edgar Hoover. By the way, for our international listening audience, believe it that we in the African American community, particularly of a certain generation, particularly such as Mr. M, who's with us, to a lesser degree, Mr. Allen, because Mr. Allen is kind of a young guy. You sound like a fairly young individual caller, but you have to understand that we came out of a generation in which, on more than one occasion, the FBI knew of an impending assassination against a civil rights leader, national or local, and let it go through. And those records are all sealed. In fact, there are some of them, particularly with regards to James Earl Ray and the assassination at the Lorraine Motel, that cannot be open for another 100 years. So I'm answering that question. I would be most interested on why even McCain and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina have not followed through with what they were saying just a month ago, that they were going to demand immediate hearings on the hacking and other kinds of situations. But as I just said, sir, it's died.
Oh, yeah. Well, the relationship between, as I understand it, they knew that Putin was interfering prior to the election, and I think Comey had that information too, didn't he? Or that was
yes,
never
he
brought
did.
Up. That was never brought up.
Yeah. I'll tell you when it was brought up. It was brought up when during the final days of the Obama administration.
Yeah.
In that particular meeting, in which, like I said, now this was kind of Don's friend. When initially the president,
let me talk about my friend,
indicated that he had not received that three-page summary, which indicated where the information was coming from and how much information was in the overall report, which is a whole lot larger than 100 pages. And by the way, just as an aside, folks indicate it's one of the reasons why President Trump and his wife seem to be so estranged. I understand she wasn't very happy when certain pieces of the information came forward with respect to his extracurricular activities. Now, I think, though, that they hold more on the president, if you will, and I think it includes his debt. His debt.
He owes a lot of people money. All around the world. And the timing of Mr. Comey's actions, I mean, it's suspect. I mean, the timing of him coming out with that at the time of a critical election like that, it's suspect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, you have to look at that and say, how can we have faith, you know, when he holds this information? If he had it, why didn't he release it prior? You know, why does he wait until then to do it? I mean, it just reeks of an ulterior motive, you know.
I'm under the impression that either way, if he would have leaked it 6 weeks ago or a couple days before, it wouldn't have made a difference. Trump won the election.
Independents and undecided would have not been. Is that right? The polls show 37%, and we still have our caller on from outside of the state of Minnesota. You're right, gentlemen, because it's another subject none of us touch. 37% of the white Republican voters in another survey indicated a strong preference and respect for how the Russian Federated Republic operated. And I wrote a column here just a couple weeks ago in which I talked about America is more red than we want to believe, caller to the outside. And I repeat that again, a column that said we are more red than we want to believe. I'm nervous. I'm scared as an African-American, particularly with the decision on how they're going to handle Chicago. And Mr. Allen, my associate, said it earlier, is that it's we're next on the list. Black America is next on the list. So for all them brothers running around thinking that they're going to enjoy a life of luxury and that Donald has looked past them, brother. But, caller, any other questions? Because you're people that text me a message from where you're calling from, and I think you had some additional questions for us.
Oh, yeah, I had a question, too, kind of to change just a little bit. I know, what's the status of the African-American football players at the University of – I think there were like 10 of them.
Well, if anybody, it's interesting that you call because in today's, just so we can authenticate, we don't want anybody to accuse us of fake news. I take a page from the press secretary. It's interesting, sir, because since Monday, just day before yesterday, four of the five young men that were allegedly found guilty had transferred from the University of Minnesota. That, for the purposes of authenticating, is in this morning's edition sports page of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. The rest of the young African Americans, the other five, four of them were absolutely exonerated. Antoine Winfield Jr. has indicated that he will stay at the University of Minnesota and participate in football. I'm not sure. I think his father, who intends to sue the university, is setting a trap. The other young men have not declared anything. But to your specific question, of the five that were affirmed as allegedly violating the young Caucasian a cheerleader,
mm-hmm.
have transferred from the University of Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Now, I want to make sure I get this correct.
Let me say this. We don't talk about it here. We have not seen anything in our major papers other than when the decision was handed down. But go ahead, sir. You have a couple more questions.
Yeah, well, no, I was just going to say the same thing. We haven't gotten too much information here either. So, but well, I just want to make sure I got this straight. Were they under investigation twice? Wasn't it opened one time, closed, and then they reopened it?
If I can, gentlemen, yes, sir, because this is another piece that we've talked about. On the 29th of December, in my column in the Spokesman Recorder, and also on this radio program, I talked about the fact that due process was being denied.
Yeah.
And it clearly was. What happened was the Minneapolis Police Department, who is in charge of investigating felony offenses involving the University of Minnesota, because they have the manpower and et cetera, or personnel power, had examined the allegations, completed their report, and handed it to the county attorney here in Minnesota. His name is Mike Freeman, longtime county attorney, governor. His father was former governor of the state of Minnesota, Orville Freeman. The county attorney initially refused to charge. Everyone assumed that everything was cleared up. All of the 10 African-Americans were allowed to return to the team. And then about 5 weeks later, the Office of Affirmative Action and Equal Opportunity, actually under the leadership of an African-American director, a young lady by the name of Hewitt, indicated that they had conducted a separate investigation and charged all 10 African-Americans with violation of university standards, rules, and et cetera, and they were taken off the team again. After that, the University of Minnesota accepted an invitation to play in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. That's about a $2 million package. They played, they won, and right after that, the president of the University of Minnesota ordered the athletic director, who had just come here from the University of Syracuse, to fire Tracy Clays. Now, you have to remember, the coach Tracy Clays came under severe, severe criticism here, and actually that was the genesis, because he had said that the players deserved due process, and he was proud of his players for standing up for each other, right? Looks like he was fairly right.
Because
half of them have been exonerated. And by the way, the ones that were exonerated, gentlemen, Don, were never on site. They were never on site. So to your question, a second time, sir, the county attorney under great pressure, and I know Don loves this one, under great pressure from Democratic office holders, was asked to reopen the case. He did. There was nothing new. He closed it again. These young men were never formally charged, though they were investigated two separate times.
Yeah. I have a kind of a question, though, about the I know you do a Minneapolis Spokesman Recorder editorials. There's also another person on there who does it.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Yeah, you, but there's another person on there that has basically come out and said that all these young men – are complicit in this this whole rape case. They're all basically guilty. So I was just kind of wondering your opinion on that. Is there
well,
some discussion there?
I'm not in the habit. I don't want to take exception or criticize my colleagues at the same paper or set that I'm at. I will have to indicate that I stand by my column of 29 December indicating that due process had to be the order of the day, that these young men deserved a due process. I do not agree with what was said, and I certainly do not agree by statements made by a man by the name of Harry Davis Jr., who I clearly know had no idea and had not done any research on, quote-unquote, the statements that he made on the 27th of January, a month after I as a journalist, had taken the position that these young men deserve due process.
Yeah.
but
university I would like
and
to
everybody
just,
else. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Is this him? Go ahead,
this is him. Yeah, you know, I like, you know, to address the caller, you know, who's not, I don't believe you're from this area, sir, you know.
Right.
So, and just to say, you know, at the time of this incident with the football players, see, just before that, there had been a very serious incident, a legal incident, criminal, actually, incident involving the wrestling team.
Okay? Oh,
all white.
A long time, a long time. I mean, a gentleman in his 70s had been a long time emeritus wrestling coach, and there was a situation where the wrestlers had got their hands on a significant amount of drugs, felony-level drugs, okay? And it was presented as though they were using it among themselves for recovery, blah, 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 but the report said the amounts of those drugs were so, I mean, thousands of pills. And it was clear that it was not only among the wrestlers, but this was a distribution type of thing that the coach actually found out about before it was, you know, brought to light. And the coach did a lot of steps. Now, this is what, you know, you read to kind of cover this up, to kind of cover the players. And so at the same time, you know, this situation had already happened before the wrestlers. And with the wrestlers, you know, they didn't put their names in the paper. They didn't suspend them. But now this is a felony drug situation. This is a endangering not only one person on the campus, but possibly endangering the whole community around there with these drugs that they were distributing. I mean, that was the word. And that the coach got a hold of it and tried to squash it, took the drugs, and threw them in the toilet. His own statement.
Let me just say on this particular point, and it was interesting, though, that when the police executed a search warrant, and by the way, the coach's name, caller, is Jay Robinson. M is absolutely correct. Jay Robinson was the head wrestling coach of a nationally ranked program, oftentimes. Had been the head coach of the team for about 32 years or something And actually, when they executed the search warrant at his home, unfortunately, some of those pills with a significant street value of in excess of $1 million were found on the premises. Apparently, I don't know if they regurgitated themselves and flushed themselves back up through the toilet. But what has happened is that no criminal charges were ever filed, and M is absolutely on point. See, this is, again, something we're not supposed to talk about here in Minnesota. No players were ever named. In fact, we never even saw any pictures of them. In fact, we got to the place with the 10 blacks that we thought they were part of our families because we saw them 4 or 5 times a night, okay? But, Tim, you make a hell of a point and have excellent recall because that – and by the way, the program deal was worked out. The program was not sanctioned by the NCAA.
Yeah.
They brought in – and this was interesting, caller, because the new coach was nothing more than the associate head coach, which I guess meant that he didn't know what was going on in the program, and he is now the head coach of the Gopher wrestling team.
And the coach.
But these were all Caucasian. These were all
and
Caucasian
the coach.
Athletes.
Yeah.
And the coach, if I could add, was allowed – you know, he wasn't summarily dismissed like Mr. Clay's. He retired.
He was allowed to resign, with pension and everything.
And everything, you know. He left just, I mean, he should have been gone probably years before. I mean, he was 70, I don't know how old, but.
72,
so,
I think you're right.
But anyway, I just say that to say that I believe that situation colored this particular situation because with these kids, the football kids, you know, not only did they not charge him the first time, but it went back to a grand jury. It went back. They looked at it again, a second time. And then they said that they weren't going to charge them. And I really think that's because they didn't do anything with these wrestlers. How in the world could they do anything to these people?
And let me say this also.
Just, I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not, you know.
No, your
opinion
is on point, and I know my colleague, Mr. Allen. But I want to say this to you also, caller, because in talking to your people and your organization, and I know that you're very much involved with with public safety and law enforcement, one of the things that is very interesting about how this entire matter has been handled is that there was never any criminal charges. And when you talk about, as M said, the level of and the amount of drugs that was being facilitated through the wrestling program, in fact, you had some wrestlers who confirmed to the authorities that they were giving them to other individuals on campus, and everybody was selling the dope, and that they made a lot of money. But in some way or another, arrangement was cut with the NCAA. The program was not violated, if you will, and the individual that took over as the new head coach was the former associate coach, which I guess meant he had no idea what was happening in the locker room and with the team and et cetera. Now, M makes an interesting point, and we saw this happening because the same president of the university, and remember this, M, the same athletic director who had just come here from Syracuse, people in charge. Now, when it came time to exercising penalties against these 10 African-American athletes, these cats were unmerciful. I mean, we reported on this program that at the bowl game, the holiday bowl game in San Diego, the president of the university was so mad, number one, that they had won, number two, they didn't act a fool on the sidelines and et cetera, and had not turned on their head coach and laid down and et cetera, that they had a gathering, you know, of the alumni, the people that give a lot of money to an amateur program, that the president of the University of Minnesota was so angry and so incensed that he would not even join the party. He actually sat in the corner and basically got drunk, but took care of business when he got back to Minnesota because he told his athletic director, Mr. Coyle, I want this cat out of here. And, in fact, Tracy Clays, according to very reliable sources, when he left San Diego, he stopped at his ancestral home in Kansas. I do believe, sir, if I'm not mistaken, down in your part of the country.
Uh-huh.
He told his family that he knew within a couple of days he would be fired, and he was. He was.
Oh, wow.
Athletic director
wow.
Set him up, told him we will meet in a week, and that was on a Tuesday. They had a meeting of select members of the Board of Regents on a personnel matter, which, by the way, gentlemen, is a violation of Minnesota law. They met for 5 hours, which meant there was a lot of consternation, right? And the meeting with Tracy Clays was at 2 o'clock, 2:30, in fact. And Coyle came in, told him, said, the decision has been made. You are out. And by the way, gentlemen, took some time before they got him his check for $500,000 because he had a buyout in his contract for $500,000. And so that's how they did it. We're coming up on the end of our program, sir. We hope that we answer some of your questions here in Minnesota.
I'm glad you got the call in segment back on. It's very good. This show's so informative. I'm glad your guys are back on. So,
all right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, well, gentlemen, I don't know. Don, what's your thinking on the future of the sports at the University of Minnesota?
I don't know. I don't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But, you know, I'm not even watching any sports. But the thing is, you know, those – the comparison between the wrestlers and the basketball players are just blatant. And if you can't
football
see
players,
that we
football,
have a
football, football,
football,
football,
players,
not, football. Be careful.
If you can't see the difference in treatment, I don't care if you're 10 years old, you're blind because nothing happened. No one even brings that up. No one wants to talk about, you know, well, the wrestlers didn't get in any trouble and they were doing drugs. And you got to think, you know, any girl being abused is wrong, but if she said what happened happened, then why aren't all these guys locked up?
Because the county attorney didn't believe her. And this is a county attorney, by the way, gentlemen, I remind you, just in the last month, has sentenced two African-Americans, law enforcement officers to the penitentiary, and is getting ready to send the father of the third one to the penitentiary, if you will, even though it's in the federal court. I mean, this county attorney here don't play, man. You know what I mean?
You know, and also, I mean, I can understand, you know, not releasing, you know, the young lady's name and identity. I mean, that certainly wouldn't be a fair or, to me, a right thing to do. But to say what her connection to the university is, I mean, the word on the street is that she was a cheerleader. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. But
that is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. In fact, I'll tell you what happened. One of the reasons that the president and the athletic director were on the field, which is highly unusual, was that they were hoping that one of these young men would make some kind of statement or confront her so that they could then use that against former Coach Clay's. She traveled with the university as a cheerleader. She performed on the field. In fact, I can tell you a group of people that were sitting in the stands pointing her out and discussing her because the question had come up, was she with the delegation from the University of Minnesota supported by taxpayers' money to perform as cheerleaders and band members and et cetera, and there she was.
Again, you know, I mean, it just points out, you know, as Mr. Allen was saying, you know, the clear double standard, and these are the things that, you know, I mean, the university is our university, too. I mean, this University of Minnesota supported by our tax dollars. I mean, we have a say.
Yes, sir.
We have a seat at the table at that, and we should be able to send our kids there and expect that they get an education and that they're treated fairly. And, you know, I mean, I have concerns about that, and I think we need programs like this and things that continue to bring these things out to make sure that we get our fair share in this community. Of course, now we have to step up, too. I mean, we've seen others such as the Somali community. Now they're all in the city council. They're, you know, and I say hats off to them. You know, they've been able to, you know, gather themselves together to do that. But there's no reason that, you know, others can do that too. But you just have to have the wherewithal and the determination to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Hey,
Go ahead, Mr. Allen. Go ahead.
Yeah,
wrap us up.
Yeah,
take us home.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time. I just wanted to say that we got to remember U.S. Bank Stadium, the sweet guests feasted on $32,000 worth of food on state dime. But you remember Mr. Edwards back before Ed McDonald took over the Council on Black Minnesotans? They had got in trouble with the auditor's office for buying food, I mean elaborate meals for the board, at the Council on Black Minnesota meetings back before Ed McDonald took over.
Okay? You're talking about when Mr. Collins was the executive director. Yeah.
And so how are these people buying that much food for these other folks? And it doesn't make any sense. But we've got a couple of minutes here. Thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is the Ron and Don Show, and let's see if James is going to happen here.
Talk to us, James Brown.